basically, what that means is that if you want to believe that Jesus is alive, if that encourages your faith, well, then that's okay. But miracles themselves don't happen, and so dead people don't ever come back to life and have a physical body. Whether they have some kind of spiritual existence, who really knows? What these people do is that they separate the physical Jesus from the spiritual Jesus. If you're feeling confused, well then, probably most of us are in that basket. But what do you believe? I think that's the question that we all have to answer for ourselves on Easter Sunday morning when we come to City North Baptist Church. Does it matter to you that Jesus rose physically from the dead? Because it should. And we're going to spend a few moments this morning considering why that is important. C.S. Lewis, the famous British author from last century, he said, "Christianity is the only world religion that depends on a miracle." And the miracle that he's referring to is the resurrection of Jesus, the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus. There are lots of books that have been written, and these are all based upon the Bible. They've been written by scientists and lawyers and medical doctors and theologians and all that sort of people. And if you want to, you can read those books, because what they do is they sift through all the data that we have available to us, and they make a very, very strong case for the fact that Jesus did actually physically and bodily rise from the dead. I'm not going to spend time this morning trying to prove to you that Jesus rose bodily. But what I want to do this morning is to consider the question of why it matters that Jesus rose from the dead and what it actually proves. Because I'm one of those who has spent time in the past examining all the data that's available, and I've come to a point of personal conviction that Jesus really did bodily rise from the dead. Well, why does it matter? I'm going to suggest five things this morning, and I hope that these will be an encouragement to you. If you're a Christian, that they will bolster your faith. If you're not a Christian, that they will perhaps encourage you to consider a bit more carefully the impact of the resurrection of Jesus. First of all, the credibility of Jesus himself depends on the fact that he rose from the dead. Down through history, there have been many famous teachers who have attracted large followings, left their mark on history. But Jesus was different. He was different. And the reason why he is different is that he staked his credibility on the fact that he would die, and on the third day following his death, he would rise from the dead. Early in his ministry, Jesus made a statement to the Jewish people, the Jewish religious leaders who are standing around listening to him. It's recorded for us in John chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 18 to 20. The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. In Matthew chapter 27, we get the sequel to that event. Matthew 27, starting in verse 62. The next day, this is after Jesus had been crucified. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, We remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. There was great fear that somebody might come and perpetrate a rumour that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. So please, Pilate, make sure that that tomb is well guarded. And of course, there were many occasions when Jesus actually told his disciples that he was going to die and he was going to rise again on the third day. This was no secret. Without question, Jesus staked his credibility on the fact that he was going to rise from the dead. He was going to deliver on the promise that Bronwyn was talking to the children about this morning. If Jesus didn't rise on the third day, well, then he would have proven once and for all that he wasn't who he claimed to be. All his profound teaching would have had an asterisk against it. We can't completely trust what this guy says, because he didn't prove himself to be who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Jesus would have been just another guru of history who said some nice things and did some amazing things. But he wasn't really who he claimed to be. He would have just been another martyr on the pages of history. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus did rise on the third day. People did see the physical scars in his hands and his side. People could touch him. People could enjoy his fellowship. People could share a meal with him as he ate fish with them. Jesus delivered on his promise and he proved once and for all that he really was the one he claimed to be, the Son of God. In Romans chapter 1 verse 4, it says this, that Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection, in that sense, validates his identity. And the resurrection gives us, who are the followers of Jesus Christ, absolute confidence that he really was the man that he claimed to be. In that sense, Jesus is absolutely unique. He's unique in history. That's the first reason why the resurrection matters. It gives credibility to Jesus himself. Secondly, salvation depends on it. The name Jesus literally means Saviour. And that was the name that was given to Jesus at his birth. The angel explained to Joseph, the human father of Jesus, that this Jesus, this baby that was going to be born, would save his people from their sins. He came to be the Saviour. And so everything that Jesus said and did in the course of his earthly mission in life was in some way leading towards his work of salvation. Yes, he taught some amazing things, some wonderful truths, some wonderful morals and those sorts of things. But they were secondary to his primary mission, which was to save people from their sins. As the Son of God, he had come into the world, sent by his Father, on this mission to rescue sinful people. What if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead? What would that have meant for his mission? Well, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Everything we believe about Christ's death on the cross as our substitute would have meant nothing. Everything we believe about the blood of Jesus cleansing us and making us right with God would have been meaningless. Everything we believe about the forgiveness of our sins and guilt is actually dependent on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. The death and the resurrection of Jesus, in a sense, are a package. One without the other means that the gospel is incomplete. We need the death of Jesus, but we also need the resurrection of Jesus in order for our salvation to be legitimate. Both are essential. So the gospel itself, the integrity of the gospel, is utterly dependent on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. So our salvation depends on the resurrection of Jesus. Thirdly, the Christian life depends on the resurrection of Jesus. Christianity is a set of beliefs that is based, of course, on the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And when we come to church, we remind ourselves of that, of those beliefs. When I stand up and I preach, when you go to your home group during the week, when you read the Bible for yourself in your daily quiet times, whatever the case may be, we are reminding ourselves through these teachings of Jesus of these beliefs which are core, which are central to the Christian faith. But when all is said and done, the Christian life is not meant to be something that we carry around in our heads. The Christian life is something that we are meant to actually live. It's got to be expressed in the way that we live day by day. It's got to be put into practice. What you believe in your head has got to be translated into how you live your life. And that means it will be reflected in your relationships, in your marriages, in your families. It'll be reflected in the way that you perform at work. It'll be reflected, dare I say, in the way that you drive your car. It'll be reflected in the way that you use your money. It will be reflected in all of the decisions and the choices of life that you make on a day-to-day basis. So Christianity is more than just a set of beliefs. And this is where the resurrection of Jesus becomes very important. The distinguishing mark, if you like, of the Christian life is the presence of the Holy Spirit within that person's life. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in a person, in a Christian, a person who has put their faith in Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make that person look more and more like Jesus. This is what we read in Romans chapter 8. We read verses 8 to 11. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, this is referring to Christians, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And notice these words here. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Before we become Christians, the old sinful habits of our past life keep wanting to hold us back, wanting to pull us down. When we come to know Christ and he puts his Spirit within us, we receive a new power to actually challenge and to overcome those old sinful habits and ways. And that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is actually living in the life of believers. Believe it or not. Giving us the opportunity to be able to live a new life, a different life, a life of power, a life of overcoming sin in our lives. has the same power, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that God exerted in raising Jesus from the dead. Because Jesus Christ lives, so we today, the followers of Jesus Christ, can live the Christian life. In a sense, you could say, the power that worked in Jesus is the same power that God wants to work in and through us today as his people. Are you living a life of spiritual power if you're a Christian? Is the evidence of that power being displayed in the way that we function on a day-by-day basis? Do other people notice the difference that Christ makes? The fourth reason why the resurrection matters is that life after death depends on it. I don't know how often you think about death and what happens when you die. I must confess that since I lost my wife over 7 years ago now, I think a lot more about it than what I did before. For many people, death is the last great enemy. For many people, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety as they contemplate what actually happens when they die, even facing up to death itself. But you know, every single one of us has to face the prospect that one day we are going to die. But what actually happens when you die? Well, there's lots of different theories that are out there. Probably three main ones. The first is that death is merely the end of existence. That when you die, you die. Once you've taken that last breath, that's it. The lights go out. Then the body disintegrates, and that's it. Atheists and most agnostics would see death like that. And for them, that causes generally either a very don't care sort of attitude, or alternatively, a very despairing attitude, because there's absolutely nothing for them to be able to look forward to. And this is, I think, one of the drivers of the push for euthanasia today. Because if you're going to die one day, and particularly if it might be a painful way of dying, let's get over and done this sooner rather than later. But that's their thinking. The second view of death that is held worldwide, not so much maybe in Australia, although increasingly so, that is that death merely results in reincarnation. So you come back in another form of life, usually depending on how you've lived this life as to what the next life might look like. And most of the Eastern religions tend to favour this view of reincarnation. Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, those sorts of people. Christians, however, have a third view. They believe that those who die trusting in Christ simply fall asleep. This is how it's expressed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, as you refer to Christians, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not believe, like the rest of mankind, you have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Isn't that a lovely way to think about death? That when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who conquered death, who is alive today, we simply fall asleep at the end of this life in preparation for the future. Death is not the end. And because of that, our grief is different. Yes, we grieve. From a human sense, there is a separation involved, and it is painful. But we don't grieve like those who have no hope. That's what it says. Our grief is different. We have confidence in the fact that the one who has survived death, the one who is now on the other side of death, has gone before us, and he guarantees that we have nothing to fear in death itself. This Jesus, the one who has survived death, he once stood at the grave of his friend Lazarus. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. This is what Jesus said. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" He also said in another place there, "Because I live, you will live also." That's the reason why Christians can stand at a cemetery and look at an open grave, or maybe come to a funeral service and look at a coffin and say, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Because there is a confidence that we have in the face of death, that death is not the end. But there's one other important reason why the resurrection matters. And that is that the final resurrection of Christians depends upon it. There's a debate in some circles about what actually happens when a Christian dies. And sometimes you might hear mention of this thing called soul sleep, where when a person dies, they have no conscious awareness, not until the final resurrection. This doesn't seem to be consistent with what the Bible says about what happens when you die. The scriptures seem pretty clear that when we die in Christ, we are immediately in the presence of the Lord. We are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. What did Jesus say to the thief who was hanging next to him there upon the cross? He said, "Today, you're going to be with me in paradise." And we could go on, because there are other references as well in the New Testament. The fact that when a person who's died trusting in Christ, that they will immediately be in the presence of the Lord in some strange way, which we don't fully understand. They are consciously present with the Lord. But there is one thing that we can be certain about from the teachings of Scripture, and that is that one day, the risen Christ, who is now in heaven reigning at the right hand of the Father, is going to come and return. And when he does so, that all those who have died are going to be raised and are going to receive a resurrection body, a new body, a body in some way like the resurrection body of Jesus. And we will then go and be forever with the Lord. Let me read again from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brothers and sisters, starting with verse 13, we've read these couple of verses before, but we'll read on a bit further. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage each other with the prospect that one day you will receive a new resurrection body and you will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. It may very well be that you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling tired. Your body is aging. It doesn't work properly anymore. It may well be that you suffer from some kind of chronic illness or ailment which makes life uncomfortable, even miserable for you, and you've been putting up with it for years. It may even be that you're missing a loved one who has passed away prematurely or died of a very painful death. It doesn't matter what the situation is, the message that comes through here from 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 is that a day is coming when those who have died in the Lord will be resurrected to eternal life at the second coming of Christ. And Philippians 3 verses 20 and 21 tells us there that when that day comes, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body, his glorious resurrection body. Our lowly bodies, with all of their human weaknesses and frailties built into them, are going to be transformed so that we receive a resurrection body like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And so Christ's resurrection and Christ's resurrection body are the guarantee for Christians that one day we're going to receive a new, updated, upgraded physical body. A body that won't grow tired or weary. A body that won't experience pain. A body that will never suffer disease. A body that will never die. A body that will last forever. And Paul says, encourage one another with these words. Another bonus, of course, is that when that day comes, we will be reunited with our loved ones, who will also be in their new resurrected bodies. We've got lots of reasons to celebrate the fact that the resurrection happened. To realise, especially on a day like today, that it really does matter what we believe about the resurrection. So we should be celebrating today. If Christ has not been raised, Paul says, our preaching is useless. I might as well go and get another job. And our faith as Christians is futile. But then he goes on and he says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits, or if you like, the forerunner of those who have fallen asleep. Just about everything that is important about the Christian life and the Christian way remains is dependent upon the resurrection of Jesus. And I just want to ask the question this morning. Is your hope in the resurrection of Jesus? Buddha's death, Muhammad's death, and so are all the other religious gurus who have lived down through the ages, but Jesus lives. And because of that, he's in a position to be able to offer the forgiveness of sins today, the sinners who repent. He's able to give a new life, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to people who put their trust in him today. He's able to guarantee that there is life beyond the grave. And he promises that the day is coming when he'll give a new resurrected body to those who die in Christ. He's here, he's wanting to give his life to us today. And if you've never received that life, what I say that today is as good a day as any for you to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Admit your sin. Believe in him. Admit your life to him. Friends, you'll never be disappointed. I just want to say this morning, just as we conclude, that if you need help in doing that, would you please come and have a talk to me or talk to one of the other pastors, because we would love to be able to help you. is important stuff. This is really important stuff, but it is fundamental to the message of Easter. It's a wonderful message. It is a message of hope. It's a message that flies in the face of all the negativity and the pessimism that the world around us today faces. Jesus is alive. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly God, we just thank you that the resurrection of Jesus means so much for us personally. The assurance, Lord, of knowing that the death of Jesus on the cross is absolutely sufficient for our sins. Oh, what confidence the resurrection gives us in the work of the cross. But also the confidence that we can overcome sin and live a changed life. Gives us, Lord, the ability to be able to face up to death, to look it in the eye without fear or anxiety. And also to look forward to the prospect one day of receiving a resurrected body. Oh, Father, we pray that you'd strengthen our faith with these truths. And Lord, I just want to pray especially as we finish this morning. Is anybody here who is unsure about Jesus? Unsure of what he accomplished when he died on the cross? Unsure of whether he's alive or not? I pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself to them in a very powerful and personal way today. That they might put their trust in Jesus and receive this life which the living Jesus is offering today.